Grace, mercy, and peace be unto you from God our Father, from our crucified and risen Lord and Savior, Jesus Christ. Amen. Please be seated. Our readings for this morning work very, very well together, don't they? First, in our Old Testament reading, we hear about these consequences of Adam and Eve's sin, right? They're deceived by the devil, and because they disregard God's word and instead follow after the lie, there are these curses that roll down. And we heard the one about the serpent, that curse that came, but as God goes on, he gives curses to man, he gives curses to women, and there is this divide that is created between God and man. And then in the gospel reading, right, we have this parable that Jesus tells us about a strong man. Right, and how Jesus comes as the strong man to bind up Satan, that way he can plunder Satan's kingdom, right? Gather his people into God's heavenly realities. And so we have the problem at the very beginning, at the first reading, and then we have the solution to the problem in our gospel reading. And what's in between? The church. The church and how the church was operating in the city of Corinth. And honestly, the church has been hanging in the balance between the problem of sin and the solution of Jesus ever since. But the Corinthian church is a great example. They were hanging in the balance between the smooth talk of Satan and the reality of what Jesus had accomplished through his death and resurrection. Because Paul is actually the one who planted that church. He had set them on a good way. He had preached to them about how Jesus goes to the cross, sheds his blood, dies for their forgiveness, and then rises again 3 days later. And he set them on how to live in this faith. And then, of course, as Paul does, he has to travel on because he planted several different churches and preached in many different areas. So he travels on. But after Paul leaves, what happens is these false apostles then come in. And they start preaching a different message to the Corinthians. And it was in such a way where some people would seek after the false apostles, who, you know, according to what Paul writes, were better preachers than Paul was. Right? They were just more eloquent. They made a better argument. But they were making a better argument for falsehood. And so the church gets divided between those who are still believing Paul's message and then those who are following after these false apostles. And it's so much so that Paul actually goes back to visit them. And he preaches God's word. But these divisions, they were huge. They were like things concerning the Lord's Supper and sexual immorality and spiritual pride, and even so far as that some of them were doubting the resurrection. So there's a big divide going on in this church of Corinth, and we know what division always causes. It's suffering. Division causes suffering. So you think about Jesus, right, being a prime example. When Jesus dies on the cross, he is forsaken by God. There's a division between him and his Father who is in heaven because our sins are on his shoulders. And what is he doing? He's suffering. He's bleeding. He's dying there. Division? Suffering, right? When Satan causes Adam and Eve to fall into sin, they can't walk in the garden any longer with God. In fact, they're kicked out of the garden, and there's an angel with a flaming sword who prevents anyone from going in again. So the sin causes division. And now Adam and Eve, they have to have painful childbearing for women, and men have to work by the sweat of their brow, and there is suffering. How many denominations do we see in Christendom even today? Everybody has different beliefs. And you know what it causes? Suffering. It's just like what Paul had to go through, right? There are false teachers who lead people away from what God's word has actually said. And every time there is division, there is suffering. What about your own family? Are there people in your family that you disagree with? Maybe people who have different beliefs than you entirely. And you know what? I'd be willing to bet that that causes suffering for you. We look out into the world, we see suffering all over the place. We see this division all over the place. As Christians, it's all too clear to us. Satan is literally waging war, and our world is the battlefield. He perverts the truth, he sends false teachers, he blurs the lines between what is right and what is wrong. And he does it in such a way where when we look out into the world, what do we see? We see confusion. We see suffering, we see pain, we see the loss of morality, we see truth fading out of our society. The celebration of sin-filled lifestyles abounds. And we can't help but wonder, is Satan winning? Is Satan winning? I mean, certainly there are some battles that he is taking the victory in. Battle after battle. Division after division. And honestly, it's discouraging for us as Christians. It becomes very discouraging. We want to give up, right? Just capitulate. Satan's going to, you know, it's just the way the world is now. Satan's going to win this one. But we can't do that. We're tempted to do that, but we can't do that, because to do that would be go along with evil. No. We can't just go along with the world, because to do that would be to turn our back on Christ. That would cause a division between us and God. And we know for certain that Jesus has done away with that division. He was divided from God. That way we wouldn't have to be. And so let's set ourselves to constantly be united to the Lord, to His Word, and to His truth. And if you're the kind of Christian who sees the world as I do, as all of the things that are so messed up, we can take some real comfort from Paul's words to the Corinthians. He says, "Since we have the same spirit of faith according to what has been written, I believed, and so I spoke. We also believe, and so we also speak, knowing that he who raised the Lord Jesus will raise us also with Jesus and bring us with you into his presence. For it is all for your sake, so that as grace extends to more and more people, it may increase thanksgiving to the glory of God." Yes, we look at the state of the world, we're certainly downcast by it, but what does Jesus promise is that he is going to raise us up. Just as well as Christ was raised from the dead, so too he can raise us because of our faith. That's what he's talking about, right? The same spirit of faith that is within each and every Christian. We need to recognize this gift in ourselves. The same faith that was granted to Moses and Abraham and even Adam and Eve, he's given it to you. The same faith that was in all of the saints, and especially the martyrs who died for their faith, that same faith is in you. Division? Adversity? Uncertainty in the world? How does God carry his people through? It's by faith. Recognizing this Jesus who died for you and who rose again. And if Christ can overcome death, you think the problems in the world are anything for him? Of course they're not. He has power over that too. And, you know, we might lament that Satan wins some battles, but you know who wins the war? Christ does. He's already declared victory. He's already declared that Satan has been conquered. It's been done in his death and resurrection. Keep your eyes on that. Because if he can reconcile us to God by his blood, there is nothing he can't reconcile. Now, if this is your belief, if you're on the same page as me here, then what are we supposed to do next? I believed, and so I spoke. We also believe. And so we also speak. What should we say? What word should we speak? It's the truth of God's word. What God has told you through the pages of Scripture, he doesn't want you to keep it in here. He doesn't want your faith simply to reside in your heart, but he wants it to spill over into your speech for the sake of the rest of the world. Because honestly, if you're not going to speak, if God's Christians don't speak, who will? The world is blind. The world is lost in their sin. And they need Christians to speak, to anchor them to the truth. Quite honestly, what it means is it means we need to get out there into the world. Whether you're in a political sphere, like we need Christians in politics, you know that, right? Those two things don't butt heads. God needs his Christians to be in places of political power, to be a voice for the truth. And if politics aren't your thing, that's fine too. But God will provide you opportunities in your own conversations, in your own lives, with your own family and your own friends, and you need to keep your ears and your eyes open for opportunities to speak, to tell people about Jesus. That what God says is right, you tell people this is right and good and salutary in the Lord's eyes. And when you see somebody doing something that is wrong according to God's word, you have to call them out and say, no, this is not good or right. This is wrong. Because then sinners are led to repentance. Then people are led to Christ. But can this really save the world? Does this message really heal everything that is so divided and screwed up? Oh, you bet. Absolutely it can. This word has more power than we will ever realize. But this is what brings us back to that divided Corinthian church. They were divided. And so Paul went and he spoke God's word to them. And what happened? But the church came back together. And those who had previously rejected Paul, they sought forgiveness. And he too came back together with his congregation. God's word is exactly what our world needs. And don't misunderstand. It won't always be accepted. But it is the only thing that can truly heal the divisions in the world. Whether it's the division between us and God with our sin, whether it's division between us and those family members that we have who might disagree with the truth of God's word, whether it's divisions that we see all around us, Jesus has the power to heal and he has the power to save. My friends, we can't keep silent. And we can't lose heart. And that's what Paul wrote too, isn't it? So, even if we are rejected, even if the world is still divided, we do not lose heart. Though our outer self is wasting away, our inner self is being renewed day by day. For this light momentary affliction is preparing us for an eternal weight of glory beyond all comparison, as we look not to the things that are seen, but to the things that are unseen. For the things that are seen are transient, but the things that are unseen are eternal. My friends, we see the divisions all too clearly. But let's cling to those things that are unseen. The promise that God makes to you in Jesus Christ. The promise that your sins are forgiven. The promise that baptism now saves. And the promise that because Jesus loves you enough to feed you with his body and his blood, that there is nothing that he won't do for you. There's no way that he will withhold his care from you. My friends, these are the unseen things. And these are the things that Jesus gives to you. In Jesus' name, amen. Now may the peace of God, which far surpasses all understanding, keep your hearts and your minds in Christ Jesus our Lord. Amen.